This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And we are all in the middle of COVID madness. And Nicole, you and I were talking off the air this morning. I feel like we're getting back to the worst doldrums of almost 2 years ago, of 2020, for an awful lot of people. Because, you know, we always, at our house, we've always done a Super Bowl party where we have about 40, 50 people. We didn't do it last year. We didn't do it 2 years ago because of COVID. Well, I mean, we did it 2 years ago. That was before COVID. Yeah, we did do it 2 years ago. But we're not going to do it this year because nobody wants to do the big gatherings. And my wife and I were talking this morning. We gotta get out and socialize more. And then you and I were talking this morning about this. And I'd like to get text messages from our listeners. And are you starting to fall into those COVID doldrums where you're just not getting out and socializing and going out to meals with friends and having people over and getting invited over? 888-973 Cairo. Shoot me your text messages on that. 888-973-5476. But, you know, I've talked about the mental health of our kids, Nicole, but I'm hearing from almost every adult that I'm talking to that they're going through some tough times right now.
Yeah, I feel just stuck in time. But then at the same time, I have another birthday coming up. And I think that's it gets to me every kind of New Year's time frame, I think, where I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm almost the next year. And I don't feel like anything's changed from the last year. And I don't know. It's just one of those things. I get into a funk often at the beginning of the year, I think.
Yeah, I had a milestone birthday a few months ago, and you know, the reality is that I have more birthdays behind me than I'm going to have in front of me, and I can't stand that we are not doing as many things with people we love as we used to, and it's really starting to wear people down. And I'm guessing you and I and my wife that we're not the only one. So that's why I'm reaching out to our listeners too, and I want to hear from them. 888-973 Cairo. But I just want to know how bad this is. And yeah, we're getting lots of responses from this. Although Mariah says, nope, nothing's changed lifestyle wise before, during, or now with COVID.
And well, I would agree. I don't personally do much different. I'm not, you know, I'm still going to concerts. I'm still going to sporting events, families, friends, but the world around me has changed. So a lot of things aren't happening like they used to. So as much as I want to still do that stuff, I don't feel like the opportunities are always there as often. Things get canceled, things get pushed. People just choose not to take the risk. Like you just choose not to have a birthday party 1 year or whatever. And so as much as I am fully in life, trying to live life as normal as I can, the world doesn't revolve around me. It's still in COVID land.
Yeah.
Especially in this state.
Yep, I understand. Tony says, for someone like me who suffers from depression, these COVID doldrums make it worse. And that's who I feel the worst for, the people who already have trouble. And there are an awful lot of people who are battling, you know, mental issues, you know, through the best of times. And now you compound it with this. And I'll get back to what I was saying an hour ago. What we're doing to our children is criminal. I think that it is child abuse, what we're doing to our kids right now for zero public health benefit. And who's being held accountable for this? Remember when Jay Inslee, a year ago, I was talking about the Super Bowl party. This was over a year ago when Jay Inslee was declaring victory.
We will not allow the virus to win the Super Bowl. We ought to win the Super Bowl, which means to keep people from being infected.
That was in January of last year, a year ago, when the Super Bowl was coming up and Jay Inslee used one of his silly little sayings. We're not going to let COVID win the Super Bowl. Well, it looks like they won it in a rout, Mr. Governor. because more people have been catching it than ever, and more restrictions are put on our lives than ever. And now you might mandate, coming out of the Board of Health meeting today, you might mandate vaccinations, injections for all children K through 12 with zero public health reason for doing so. And it's all just crazy. And the governor yesterday, he did his State of the State speech. And I finally got to watch it after we got off the air. But one of the things that struck me is he wants to spend more money. And I'll talk in the big lead at two about how most states are doing massive tax cuts right now. But Jay Inslee, he just wants to spend, spend, spend.
I can encapsulate the state of our state very simply. We need action.
We need action. What have you been doing if we still need action? You've been the governor for 9 years. How much more action do we need? And if we do, then why haven't you gotten the action done in the last 9 years? But that's his way of saying that even though he has blown billions of dollars on the phony climate change, the man responsibility for climate change issue, he's blown billions on that. We've spent tens of billions of dollars on homelessness, and he wants even more for that. But Jay Inslee, he gets up there and he can just spew absolute nonsense like this.
This has been a long effort, but we are undaunted. And look at all we've done together. If you compare our success to other states, we've saved more than 17,000 Washington lives.
Where does he get that number? Does he just pull it out of his hat? We've saved 17,000 lives. Every number you've given us, going back to, you know, where we just won the Super Bowl, every number you've given us has been wrong. And now we're supposed to believe the specificity of that number, that you and your mask mandate and your vaccinations, that you've somehow saved 17,000 lives. That is a number that is completely, totally, utterly made up. And when I've said that before, I've had people who say, oh, go to the University of Washington. Yeah, they cite some website that Jay Inslee's using. They're making up the numbers. There is absolutely no way of saying that Jay Inslee's policies have saved 17,000 lives. That is absolutely impossible to nail down with any kind of specificity. And there is no scientific formula that will reveal those numbers, no matter how much everyone wants to lie to you about it. Just like they said, you don't need a mask. Once you're vaccinated, everybody will be fine. They've been telling us that for 2 years now, and everything's been wrong. And now we're supposed to believe a number like Jay Inslee have saved 17,000 lives. And he just wants to spend billions and billions more for all of his little pet projects.
Every corner of our state faces climate-related disasters today. Not tomorrow, right now. This is the fight for the future of our state.
And here's what's unanswered. Because like I said, I believe in climate change. I just don't believe that man is responsible for anywhere near what Jay Inslee claims. We used to, here in Seattle, the greater Puget Sound area, we used to be covered by glaciers that were 2,500 feet tall. Five space needles, one on top of another, on top of another, another, and up. We had glaciers 2,500 feet tall, covering the entire Puget Sound region, much of western Washington. And those glaciers retreated starting about 19,000 years ago. You know why? Climate change. Was it because people were using gas-powered lawnmowers 19,000 years ago? No, because the Earth evolves, and part of that evolution is the climate does vary. It does go from cold to warmer over the millennia. And we're in a tiny, tiny spike right now. But it's nowhere near, you know, Al Gore predicted that oceanfront land would be underwater by now, by 2022. Jay Inslee has been crying hysteria from day one. And none of it's accurate. It is all about what he just said. This is what climate change is all about.
Every corner of our state faces climate-related disasters today. Not tomorrow, right now. This is the fight for the future of our state.
So he wants to spend $600 million more dollars on this phony issue. It is all about controlling money. And it is about absolutely nothing else. All right, next up in the Fastest 15, then you have what is happening nationally. Bidenflation has now hit its worst level ever. 7% was the inflation rate last month. Those numbers just released today. That is the worst inflation rate in America since 1982. This is all caused by Joe Biden flooding our economy with phony printed money, giving people much more to spend than what the marketplace could keep up with. So that drives prices way up. It also has been a contributing factor to shelves being empty all across the country, and the supply chain has not been able to keep up with consumption. And this is what happens when the United States prints trillions and trillions of dollars and sends out checks, including checks to people who are making $100,000 a year. And now we have the effects of an absolutely incompetent president. And that's what Joe Biden is. He is absolutely incompetent. And remember, all of the toadies who, they were all given a word when it became obvious that inflation was crushing middle class and working class families in America. Remember the word that all of the media and politicians were given out of their talking points memo?
Our economists have conveyed that they feel that the impact of our proposals will be transitory.
All of the economists that the president has been relying on suggest that there is a transitory nature to the inflation problem.
Economists call all these things transitory effects.
This inflation that we're experiencing is transitory. It is not going to be here long.
We've had several months of high inflation that most economists, including me, believe will be transitory.
We don't expect that those...
It goes on and on and on and on. You get the message. They were all given this one word. Nobody uses the word transitory. But all of a sudden, when inflation started a few months ago, they all said, oh, it's just transitory. And that was a lie. They were all lying to us because they wanted to minimize the political impact at that moment. But now, if people remember how badly we were all lied to, it should increase the political impact. And so now, if you are a couple, each of you makes $75,000 a year, and you have 7% inflation, that has taken $10,500 of your dollars. And inflation, by the way, is much worse than 7%. Because that doesn't factor in food and gas prices. Gas prices are up over $1 a gallon from December of 2020, when the last month that Donald Trump was president. Meat has gone up 20% in that period of time. And everybody, your home heating costs, especially with the climate change surcharge, that's gone up. So for families, it's much, much, much worse than 7%. And everybody knows that. And people are getting crushed. Because if you each make $75,000 a year, you're not wealthy. If you have a husband and wife making $75,000, or a husband, wife, and wife. I'm so inclusive. You're not wealthy. And then Joe Biden's policies takes $10,500 off the top of your income. It's insane. It's insane what's happening in this country. But then you have Joe Biden himself, who he gave a speech yesterday. And first of all, he continues to have no clue who the president of the United States is.
Last week, President Harris and I stood in the United States Capitol.
He calls Kamala President Harris more than he calls her vice president. He's just so confused. But then he talked about this filibuster thing. They want to get rid of the 60-vote supermajority in the Senate, which the Democrats used more than 300 times the filibuster when Donald Trump was president, but now they hate the filibuster because they want to push through a radical voting change law where the federal government would take over every state's ability to control their voting rights. The feds would be able to say, okay, paper ballots, and you can do the ballot harvesting. And Joe Biden yesterday said that it is absolutely imperative that they get rid of the filibuster.
Republicans today can't and won't. Not a single Republican has displayed the courage to stand up to a defeated president to protect America's right to vote. Not one.
Okay, and that, of course, is just a flat-out lie. But you know what's interesting? Joe Biden, in 2005... he was absolutely against the filibuster.
And we should make no mistake. This nuclear option is ultimately an example of the arrogance of power. It is a fundamental power grab by the majority party. What is really at stake in this debate, point blank, is the shape of our constitutional system for the next generation. And the nuclear option is a twofer. It excises independence from our courts and at the same time emasculates the Senate.
Okay. Getting rid of the filibuster would emasculate the Senate, said Joe Biden in 2005. But now that he wants to use the elimination of the filibuster to radically change voting, to rig elections, and that's what this is all about. Democrats now realize, after they've been exposed as the greatest failure to running this country with the southern border in Afghanistan and inflation and all of the disasters that have befallen America since Biden became president, they know that they cannot win elections straight up. So if they cannot get rid of the filibuster and rig elections, but it was Joe Biden, when a Republican was president, who said, we got to keep the filibuster, in 2019, just 3 years ago, Joe Biden.
And we should make no mistake. This nuclear option is ultimately...
Oh, wait, that's the same cut from the played from 2005. Anyway, in 2019, Joe Biden also said we have to keep the filibuster. So what's going to happen if Republicans take over the Senate next year? And then 51 Republican senators say, hey, let's have a nationwide abortion ban. And then are Democrats going to say, we never should have gotten rid of the filibuster, Biden! It'll come back to bite them because Democrats are a failure at running this country in every single way. There is not one success that anybody can attribute to Joe Biden. And so the disaster absolutely continues. I have more cuts from yesterday that I'll play later in the show, too, because the man has just lost his mind, and unfortunately, literally. Okay, that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
15 minutes will give you the world. Coming up next, it is Wednesday. That means a weekly visit with Brock Heward, who has some really great news to share with us in the midst of all of this darkness. We will shine a light on something wonderful. That's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Heward.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With a 12s, hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Penny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
And here's Brock Heward. Joining us as he does every Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon, friend.
Hello, Dory. How are you? Little CTE test for you.
CTE? Okay.
CTE.
You got one for me?
It was at this time exactly 1 week ago. I shared with you and your broad audience what Brown 24 Razor was.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? What does the Brown, what is the 24, and what does the Razor compromise or comprise of?
I wasn't paying close enough attention.
Nicole? Anybody?
No.
Andrew?
Nobody's going to remember.
Anybody?
I'm audience? Here, and I remember the lecture, but I forget the meaning.
Okay. All right, great.
I remember Razor is the route type.
Good. Very good.
Is Brown mean audible? I know audible is in there.
That's the audible color. Well done. You're nailing it. 67%.
And I don't know the 24. I think, is that just the player number? I don't know.
Think Trojan. Think protection. Protection. Wow. That's protection. See, now you'll never forget the 24.
We got it now.
Definitely.
Now, nor will your audience.
Calling us out.
Nor will your audience.
And I've been teasing ahead because I've had so much ugliness in the news with inflation and COVID and what we're doing to our kids. And I said, Brock has some really good news to share. But should I save that for the end of the segment?
Yeah, save it for the end.
Okay, because I do have some. Did you hear? You're kind of my go-to guy for what we're doing to our kids these days.
Okay.
Did you know what they're doing at an elementary school here in Seattle for lunchtime?
Oh, they're making them sit cross-legged with their hands behind their back outside while they feed drop them from helicopters.
Exactly.
Am I close?
At Queen Anne Elementary, they said, we're going to eat outside, but if it's a driving rainstorm, we have covered alcoves. But if it's a sideways rain, if the parents have filled out the eating in the cafeteria permission form during extreme weather form, that's the name of the form, eating in the cafeteria permission form during extreme weather, then the kids can sit in the cafeteria 6 feet apart with their masks on, and it is a silent period. You cannot talk at all. Mm-hmm. And then you can pull down your mask, take a bite of food, then you have to put up your mask while you chew and swallow it. Then you can pull it down, take another bite. What are we doing, Brock?
Yeah, it's
what
just,
are we doing?
Well, it's the other you know, competing broadcast entity that I worked at for 11 years. Mm-hmm. I think I just finished my third at Fox and going to hopefully get my new deal done there and be awesome. The other place, Four Letters, they didn't meet in person with coaches this year. We'd come in and do a game at a university, and just the week before, the other place broadcast it, mm-hmm. they would either meet via Zoom or likewise sit outside 6 feet apart, you know, had to do that as well. So, I mean, it's not just schools. It's not just school districts. It's a lot of different entities that, you know, that go about that. And as, you know, those coaches then say, like, then what do you guys do? Do you not meet? Of course we then go and meet and have production meetings and those folks on the other team do as well. I mean, what do these kids do when school ends, Dory? Do you think they go home and put their masks on and eat in their room separate from everybody else? Or do you think they interact? Do you think they go to sports teams? Do you think they go play? Do you think they're at their buddy's house?
It's,
you know, swapping spit with each other. Like, what do you think they're doing with their real life?
I know, you know, when I was that age, when I was a kindergartner, I'd be walking around the neighborhood with my buddies and we'd have sword fights. I'm guessing there aren't any kids who have sword fights anymore.
Probably not. And probably, honestly, as I say that out loud, I want to believe that's happening. But I also know some of the psychosis that this has created for parents and kids and families. And I know a few of them there that have hardly left their home still in 2 years.
I'm talking to a mom next hour. Her 7-year-old got kicked out of theater class last night because the 7-year-old wasn't vaccinated. They hadn't injected a 7-year-old who doesn't need. But anyway, I don't want to get muddled down with that. No. Before I get to the good news, did you see this Geno Smith police report?
96? 98? How fast? 96,
yeah, he's going 96 in the 60. But then he, according to the police documents, he accused the police officer of having little male genitalia syndrome, except he used the D word.
Oh.
3 times he told the cop he had little male genitalia syndrome. He declined a breathalyzer in the field. He declined a blood test at the hospital. And then he said, you don't want to see me out of these handcuffs. You don't know what'll happen. I will F everyone up.
Oh. Probably the last time associated with the Seahawks, I would think.
I would hope.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, he's a very average player and what was he, 1-3 as a starter? I mean, he was competent, but there are many, many Geno Smiths of much higher character, and they need to get younger anyway at that position behind Russell Wilson. So, not a good look on the way out.
Let's get to the good news, because you came on this show several months ago, and you were trying to rally people for a cause. In fact, let me play a little bit of what you posted on Twitter here.
In 2020, COVID-19 hit the world where it hurts most. Already vulnerable children and their families were left in even greater need.
The storm is upon us.
The coronavirus. The world is on the brink of a hunger pandemic, pushed millions into starvation.
Not on our watch.
Some professional athletes and coaches are teaming up.
We partnered up with Compassion International to raise enough money for 70,000 kids.
I'm Case Keenum.
I'm Alyssa Nair.
My name's Carson Palmer.
I'm Billy Jess. I'm
Ken Brock. Heward was part of this too. And, you know, you told us about when your family went on a Compassion International trip, and it was life changing. And it's a Christian organization that works with kids in the most desperate of situations in the most desperate of nations around the world. And what was the great news that you shared with me via text yesterday?
The goal was 70,000 kids. That's what Compassion, Jimmy Mulata, the president of Compassion, felt they would lose in sponsorships when the world shut down, when our country, when the engine that is this country and the philanthropy that just pours out of this country, that's what they felt like they would lose sponsorship-wise when there were no concerts, there were no conventions, there weren't church gatherings, they could not, you know, do what they have done over the years to raise funds and find sponsors for these children. So 70,000 was the size of an average NFL stadium, and the goal amongst the professional athlete community and other team members was to fill that stadium. Fillthestadium.com was the initiative. The goal was 70,000. Close of business in 2021, January 1st, 2022, we exceeded 70,000. In fact, yes. It was 76,000 kids, over $38 million raised that will be pouring in to the most poverty-stricken, most children in need. We can poke fun at schools that have outdoor lunches. We're talking life and death and hunger and starvation and medicine and pouring into the poorest of communities around the globe. And man, did that just give me goosebumps yesterday. And to share that with you and your audience, you helped support it. Many in your audience helped support it, Dory. It has just been phenomenal to watch the Lord work and fill that stadium and more.
Well, and what you talked about is we got so many young people in this country who are just so filled with angst and negativity because they're on social media all the time. And you went and visited. I mean, you went to a nation. You saw these kids who have nothing.
Nothing.
Who have absolutely nothing. And you were telling me that they were just filled with joy.
Oh, so much joy in trying to give you whatever they have, trying to cook a meal for you when they can't, trying to give you some of their goods and their gifts because they are not attached to their things, the things of this world, right? They're attached to relationship and have joy and love and are so thankful for a ministry like Compassion that touches lives all around the globe. And they know, and you know, I hope to get back on a trip this spring for the first time in 2 years to go into those communities that we serve. And I know when we do, Dory, as rough as it's been in this country, amplify that but significantly, exponentially with the hunger and the starvation and the sickness in those countries. So to be a part of an initiative like this and a cause like this and to watch, you know, really the Lord just open doors and open people's pocketbooks and hearts has been pretty darn special.
Yeah. Well, amidst all of the other nonsense we've been talking about, I just wanted to really spotlight that because that's awesome. What a great job by you and the whole team there. Well done, my friend.
Well, thank you, Dory. Appreciate you and Nicole. And remember, Round 24 Razor.
No, I'll leave that to Andrew. Andrew remembers all the important stuff.
The protection, the route. You got it.
Got it. All right. See you, bud. Brock Heward joins us every Wednesday here on the Dory Monson Show, and we have lots more still to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Rolls on.
Rolls on. Oh, yeah, Brock. Brock takes it here. Such a good song. I could listen to the whole thing. But Joe, who's really in free fall right now? Left wing media. CNN. We've just gotten the 2021 final TV ratings. CNN lost 80% of its total audience in 2021 versus a year prior. Now, the year prior was an election year, but still, you lose 80% of your audience. Our audience has actually gone up in the last year. And 2020 was great on our show, but our audience went up from a great 2020. But on CNN, they lost 80% of their audience. So why does left-wing media fail to this extent? Because I remember long time ago when a lot of people thought that left-wing talk radio was going to make a serious dent. It was called Air America. And there was a station in Seattle. I mean, if any city you would think would be open to left-wing talk radio, it'd be Seattle, right? But no. It was an absolute dismal failure. And it's because left-wing media is just concerned about being a column of the Democratic Party. And they just push out those same talking points. I'll give you an example. MSNBC is another one that has lost a lot of its audience. And Rachel Maddow, this was in March of 2021, so nearly a year ago. And listen to what she was saying about the vaccine back then and how it was a miracle drug. By the way, a few months earlier, she was anti-vax because Donald Trump was the one who was providing it. And then 3 months later, when Biden's president, the vax is this miracle that's going to end any COVID imposition in our lives.
Instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person to person, spreading, sickening some of them, but not all of them. And the ones that it doesn't sicken don't know they have it. And then they give it to even more people because they didn't recognize they were right. Instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person, potentially mutating and becoming more virulent and drug resistant along the way. Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person.
Nope.
A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else.
Nope.
It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people.
Nope. All wrong.
That means...
And look, by comparison, how have we handled the vaccine on our show? I think it's very good and useful for people my age and older. I think it's good and useful for people with comorbidities. And I think it's fine for anybody who chooses to get it. That's been my position from day one, that if you want to get it, you should get it. You should have that choice, that control. But we have been against the government mandate because I never believed that it was going to be this miracle that suddenly would end COVID, because I have critical thinking skills and they are not totally obscured by talking points, by saying what people are mandating we say. And then by comparison, Fox News Channel in every day part has way more viewers. They only dropped 15% from election year 20 to 21. CNN dropped 80%. And Fox has more viewers than CNN and MSNBC combined in every single day part. Left-wing media is a failure because most of what they spew doesn't stand up to the scrutiny of intellectual analysis. Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then the big lead at 2 is coming up next.